Thanks for listening to this podcast of Trending with Timory. If you haven't already subscribed, please catch us wherever you love to listen to your podcast, from the Relevant Radio app to Apple, YouTube, you name it, we are there. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to go and give us a 5-star review to help other people discover the podcast. Anything you share in terms of episodes, whether it's texting it to a friend, posting on social media, helps to build up the kingdom for God, to help confront the challenging issues we face as a culture, but with joy, with hope, and with an eternal perspective where our faith collides with everyday life, bringing eternal principles to help us live our life joyfully.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to Trending. My name is Brooke Taylor, filling in for Timory. Always delighted and grateful to be with you on day 20. Just realizing that today is day 20 of Lent. And I'll be guest hosting today and tomorrow's show with special guests lined up to help stir your heart as we continue on this Lenten journey, and with themes of raising children in Holy Mother Church, navigating the many challenges of the culture, and also making the most of these days leading up to Easter. So how is your Lent going so far? The last time I guest hosted, it was, I think, the day before Ash Wednesday. So now we are not quite, but we are almost at the halfway mark. We're gazing ahead to Laetare Sunday, which is also Mid-Lent Sunday. Laetare means rejoice. But why is it an occasion of joy? That's a question my son asked me. So I had to brush up and go back. And so many beautiful, rich opportunities to teach and to be edified ourselves when we dig into that. So we pull just one thing. We'll look at the collect prayer of the Mass, and we read on Laetare Sunday, "Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that we, who by the merit of our actions are crushed down, may be, by the consolation of thy grace, able to breathe again through our Lord." So those words, breathe again, is key to be revived. You know, when you're running a marathon and you don't properly prepare, and even if you do properly prepare and you train and dial in your nutrition and your hydration, there's an opportunity still, or a chance, that you could bonk. And bonking is that dreaded wall you hit when you just stall out. You have done all you could and you feel like your legs are lead, your heart is still in it, you're doing your best, but you are just struggling. You need some glucose or protein or electrolytes just to catch that second wind and finish strong. So Holy Mother Church rejoices because our redemption is near. So this is our opportunity to have a pit stop, and not a stop, but just a revival with victory of over death almost here. And so keep an eye out on Mass this Sunday for these special signs of joy. We already know, and we see this too in Advent, the Gaudete Sunday with the rose-colored vestments, but also these emblems of joy like the flowers on the altar. And so when you're spying these signs of joy, that it will help us. And of course, this week is a huge week for the world's Catholics. We know Pope Francis preparing to consecrate Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And also today, we now have confirmation that Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI will join the consecration. That was a big breaking news report earlier today, and that a papal envoy will also conduct the same consecration in Fatima on Friday, March 25th. Also, of course, the feast, the solemnity of the Annunciation. So a rich, beautiful week ahead. Today on Tomorrow and Tomorrow on Trending, our goal here is to bring you topics and guests that will act as your audible electrolytes to keep you going and fuse your heart with truth, beauty, and goodness to help revive your spirit as we draw near to our Lord, especially during these days leading up to Easter. So today's show is about parenting for eternity. Looking forward to speaking with our guest, Connor Gallagher. He's the CEO of Tan Books and also the author of that book. Tomorrow on the show, I'll be speaking with Brother Richard Hendrick. And we're very Irish here. I feel like maybe maybe we're in a St. Patrick octave because we have Conor Gallagher tomorrow, brother Richard Hendrick, who is, by the way, in North Dublin. So as we connect with him tomorrow, it's about 4 hours ahead in Ireland, and he'll be joining us from the Friary, particularly to talk about themes of fasting and prayer. And today also marks astronomical spring. So much going on. And you see that. I mean, life is beginning to bloom. And it's an interesting phenomenon because at the sunset today, in virtually every place on the globe, occurs at about 7:30. So that's local time. You have to make shifts for the time zones. But what an amazing thing. Las Vegas to Sydney, Australia to Fairbanks, Alaska. There are only two exceptions to this today, and that is the North Pole and the South Pole. But everywhere else on Earth, we should be experiencing the sunset about 7:30 our local time. So it's one of those things where you just pause, and it's a teachable moment for us, for our children, to just consider the profundity of cosmic order. That's something the early Christian writers talked about. They pondered, where does this order come from? These laws, this harmony, this beauty. And according to tradition, the physical universe points to God in mainly two ways. The first is the mere fact that it exists and in its perfect order. Every sunrise is a miracle. Every sunset is a miracle. We've been learning a little bit about astronomy. My youngest son is being homeschooled this year, so he's learning. I'm revisiting the subject, but it is amazing. It has been so beautiful. And Gus is our caboose. He's our youngest of five in the family, and he's 10 years old. But one of the highlights, and this is going to set up our theme with today's guest about parenting, is we recently finished this book called Endurance. I highly recommend it. It's not a Catholic book, but it is beautifully woven in with virtue, with truth, beauty, goodness. And it's a true story of the voyage of Ernest Shackleton and the remarkable story of survival with his crew stranded in Antarctica. And just to observe the human condition, how they were able to keep their sanity and their faith and their morale in what you would think would be a certain death situation. It is a astonishing story. So we finished the book. It was a read aloud. And then as a reward, we watched the documentary March of the Penguins. Do you remember this movie? I can't remember. I think it was around 2001 or two it came out. I remember watching it. I thought it was nice. It got an Academy Award. Morgan Freeman narrated it, but I didn't really remember much about it. But watching it again was the most incredible experience as a parent now of older teenagers. And I have, my oldest is 20, and then we have, you know, teenagers on down the line. But it really sets up, I think, this idea of parenting for eternity. And here's why. Maybe you knew this, but I was just blown away that penguins are monogamous. So mostly they mate for life. And as soon as the mother penguin lays an egg, the baby penguin is on the way. The couple has one single goal, one goal, and that is to keep that egg alive until it hatches. So with the utmost care, and this is so interesting in the animal kingdom, the mother entrusts the egg to the father. So there's this dance that they have to rehearse. And again, going back to the incredible order of God and how he just sets everything up in a way we could never fathom. And so she has to delicately roll the egg over to the father for safekeeping above his feet. And it has to be done so quick and perfectly, or the egg will perish, because one moment to the exposure of that freezing air will freeze. That egg will not survive, and that tiny beating heart will not continue. And so they have to perfectly get the egg over to the father, the mother does. Then he protects it. When it's transferred, he then stays there every day with guarding the egg from the predators and losing a great deal of his own body weight and buffeting the storms and the blizzards that come while she goes and gets the food. And so hoping that when she returns, the baby will be alive and healthy. And the father is hoping that she will return with food to feed them. The whole thing is remarkable. And all of this, this entire story for me, was just a reminder of all that we do to help protect our children physically from the culture, from the spiritual battles, from all of the forces that assault our families, and how much more should we focus on their spiritual life? And so I think in watching this documentary, I was beginning to see with eyes of the spirit, you see in the animal kingdom, all the lengths that they go to protect their physical babies. And we do as well. You know, when we have a toddler and they fall down on their wobbly legs, we worry when there's a new driver out on the road and it's late at night that they're going to get home safe. But again, this eternal soul is what we are safeguarding, preparing, forming, and drawing closer to heaven. And so that is the theme of today's show, the clarity of that mission so clearly communicated in the book that we will explore. It's called Parenting for Eternity, A Guide to Raising Children in Holy Mother Church. The author is Connor Gallagher. He is CEO of Tan Books, husband and father of 15. Yes, you heard that right. 15 beautiful children, and joining us today to talk about the book. Welcome to the show, Connor.
Wow, thank you. I'm humbled to be here, Brooke, and I don't want to talk. I just want to keep listening to you go. I mean, that I've already made a note. My next book is entitled Parenting with Penguins. I mean, I got it. I'm going to do it. I mean, that was an amazing analogy for the spiritual life. I mean, you just nailed it. I'm going to go watch this movie with my kids. I mean, I've seen it before, but I didn't draw that incredible metaphor that you just did. I mean, Brooke, way to go. Man, I don't want
you're a tough act to follow. Holy Spirit, because it was really, I had recently read your book. So you see how it all works together, because it gave me a different vision. And again, I had seen it, thought it was cute, but not really much more than that. Couldn't even really remember much of it. And this was completely different. The film I watched just came alive in that way. And again, maybe it's because of the stage of raising teenagers and seeing the perils that are facing all families right now. But you just did a beautiful job of helping us see the beautiful glory that is within our children of these immortal souls. So thank you for your book. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I'm very impressed you have so much energy. You saw that was a very robust greeting with all the 15 children. And you're impressive.
Well, I tell you, you know, look, it's not so hard to show up and do an interview, but my dear wife, who's, you know, taking care of all the kids right now, she's the one that's always the unsung hero. So, you know, people always say, oh, how do you raise 15 children? So we should marry the right woman. That's for starters. So
yeah, and
she's a remarkable person. It's teamwork, but she's amazing. So I can take a little credit for writing the book, but she's the one that, you know, she takes the bulk of the credit for everything else.
Well, praise be to Jesus and Mary for your witness, and thank you for this book. I want right in to page 3, you just right between the eyes hit your readers, really from page 1, from the introduction. But I just want to read a brief intro and get your thoughts on this. You write this: as a parent, you must examine your conscience. Do you give greater attention to your child's physical or spiritual well-being? Have you gone to great lengths to construct your entire life around your child's health, education, social life, and sports so they can be well-rounded, productive, and successful citizens? A resounding yes comes to mind. But have you given even 10% of such effort to their spiritual formation? Have you considered heaven and hell 10% as much as you consider worldly success for your growing child? Perhaps you regret not having the resources to pay for college, travel, or family vacations, but do you regret not taking your child to Eucharistic adoration and confession and helping him fall deeply, madly in love with Our Lady? So the picture you paint is pretty sobering.
Yes, Brooke, you know, this whole book was a self-examination. You know, I mean, my oldest is 20, like your oldest is. And, you know, I've been doing this a while, but always reflecting on, you know, how have I done and how am I doing currently? How am I going to do in the future? So, you know, when you have a lot of kids, you know, as every parent's busy, but, you know, as we've added more and more children, Brooke, it gets a little crazy. And so you start asking yourself, okay, what do we really have time to do? I mean, when you have a whole bunch of kids, the expectations of what you can do for each one has to change. There's just 24 hours in the day. So as I'm thinking about this, I can't have every kid doing travel soccer, right? I can't spend multiple hours every day, you know, helping each kid with homework. It's impossible for me. So I start saying, what do I have time to do? And there is always time, no matter what's going on in your life, to focus on your child's spiritual well-being. And sometimes that means other physical things have to take a back burner. But when you start looking at it and saying, how much effort, energy, brain time, parental concern and stress and anxiety are we giving to the eternal destination of our child? You know, we have to raise our children for death, not just for life. You know, this time we have on earth, first of all, any of the listeners right now might be dead in 5 minutes. It might be 50 years. But whatever it is, we all have eternity sitting there staring at us in the face. And because of our busy, chaotic, overly, quote unquote, productive world, with all the expectations on us as parents for our children, we tend to forget that we're raising immortal souls who will either be in heaven or hell. And there is nothing beyond that. So this is why I challenge, myself primarily, but then also my readers, my customers, to say, how much of my parental energy am I giving to the immortal life of my child's soul?
So for the parent who desires that, but maybe doesn't know where to begin, a starting point, and does it also hinge on the age? The four last things, take that for example, and focusing on that, is there a certain age that we should talk about, death and hell?
That's a great question, Brooke. And I think, immediately, in fact, when you were just talking about the penguins, one of the things I was thinking about is everything in nature that God made, is a foreshadowing in a sense of something supernatural. So I don't want to get too complicated, but even, how Greek and Roman mythology had kind of quasi-human divine beings in their mythologies, Hercules and Aeneas, that was a foreshadowing of the incarnation. So everything in nature, whether it's penguins or whether it's the seasons changing, like you were talking about, this is the first day of spring, all of it is a foreshadowing of the supernatural reality around us. So to answer your question, all children have death and life all around them because nature, the leaves change, the leaves die, the leaves are born. We have chickens and we just had a rooster die trying to defend a hen at night. They both got killed. It was sad for the children. It was like he went out. What greater love has a rooster than to give his life for a hen, So and it was kind of a beautiful thing, but death was right there in our backyard. Some critter, ate the chicken and the hen and the rooster. So whether it's a goldfish or whether it's grandma, there is death, and we need to not hide that from our children. We need to show them how it all plays out in God's holy divine providence, because he's an infinite loving God, and death, in a sense, will be our greatest gift because we can finally reach our judgment and reach our eternal destination with the beatific vision for all eternity. We should not hide that from our children. We should guide them to be ready and to embrace that moment when it comes rather than be terrified of it like the modern world is.
Amen. The name of the book is Parenting for Eternity, A Guide to Raising Children in Holy Mother Church. And it's what I love about it is it's almost like a manual, like a pocket. It's bigger than a pocket size, but it's so easy just to grab. One of my mom rules is I always have a book with me because you never know when you're going to be waiting. And I don't want to grab my phone. So it may be this book or it may be the diary, although the diary is a bit more dense, but having it in my backpack or my purse or one in the car. The downside of that, of course, is that you misplace them a lot, but it's so good to have this. And even if you run into a friend to say, you know what, they're struggling, open it up and say, I'm just going to open up your book right now. The Habit of Frequent Confession, that's on page 49. And I know because I read this chapter, that is an area you touch on when you say, if you have an adult child who is not practicing or perhaps has left the faith altogether. And one of the reasons the grown child may not desire communion anymore is because he stopped going to confession and the power of the sacrament, particularly absolution. So maybe there, what is your advice if they aren't yet open to a child? This is such a grief and a sorrow for so many that their children is just not open yet to the sacrament of reconciliation. How do we bridge that line as parents of keeping that dialogue open without completely having the kids just shut down, those adult children?
It's really tough, and my heart goes out to those people, and I might deal with it one day. Perhaps my wife and I will deal with it, but I also see that there is, and I don't mean this to be unsensitive, but there is a pandering that parents instinctively do to their adult children who have fallen away from the faith and who are not practicing their faith and not, or perhaps they may be in grave sin, by saying, just come to Mass with us, please, please come to Mass with us. And then they march them right up there to receive our Lord in the Blessed Eucharist, which is a problem in a couple ways, Brooke. Number one, it's a sacrilege to the true presence, okay? It's a sacrilege. Number two, it cheapens this glorious gift that we have. It's a privilege, not a right. So our children who are raised in privilege-based society, okay, or a right-based society, they think that everything is a right. And they think they can just come and get the wafer anytime they want to. That's the way they think about it. But if we say, please come to Mass with us, sit with us, be with us, we love you, but you cannot receive communion until we go to confession. And I will move heaven and earth to, and I'll rearrange my schedule. We will get you to confession. But if you do that as a parent and convince that adult child, they must first go to confession before going to Holy Communion. They immediately see, it's only natural for them to see, oh, this is something special. And mom and dad really care about this. And I can't just go and receive any time. That will at least put the thought in their head. So that's one thing. The other advice that I try to give to people and to remind myself, you know, Brooke, we spend more time complaining about our children to our friends, and we spend more time, you know, thinking and worrying about them and thinking about all the different possibilities than we do actually on our knees praying for them. And so St. Anselm, who was watching a young Augustine kind of go wild, right, in Hippo, he told Monica, pray for your son more than complain about him. So that's something, Brooke, that we all have to do. And that prayer, which is filled with parental grace, particularly through the grace of holy matrimony, that grace will eventually, in one way or another, get to that adult child. And if it's in God's will, she will come back to the sacraments through confession. And if it's not, then trust your child to the mercy of God.
It's funny because that quote is one, it's a little different, but often I repeat, and that is what you said about, you know, I think, and I call on the intercession of St. Monica and talk less to Augustine about God and more to God about Augustine. And that is so powerful and so true. You have so many rich, stirring words of grace in here for parents. If anyone has a question, I'd love to just share the number. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call. Parenting for Eternity is the name of the book, A Guide to Raising Children in Holy Mother Church. And another point you make, we just have a minute until the break, but the greatest catechism that our children will learn from is not necessarily the green book, but your life. And this comes down to really living a spiritual regimen and our prayer posture. You have a whole section about devotions and even the way we pray the rosary and our morning offering, knowing that we are not perfect, but the effort of sincerity, of will, of striving, and being reverent in our prayers for us as parents is also important.
Brooke, that's probably the most confessional part of this book, because I am not a very pious person naturally. It doesn't come natural to me. And so when I'm praying, whether it's our family rosary at night or at Mass, I'm kind of a lazy prayer. And so, you know, when I wrote this, I'm saying physically, my children are watching my body language. And if they see me as being sloppy, physically sloppy and lazy in front of our Lord, especially when I'm in front of the Blessed Eucharist at Mass, then they're going to say, no big deal about this whole thing. But if they see me humbled and physically before my God, acting like God has appeared before me in the flesh, then if I act like that's happening, that will have a tremendous impact on my children, far more than just some catechetical lesson. I am the flesh and blood catechism for my children. So is my wife, and so are you for your children. We must remember that, particularly at Mass.
Amen. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call. We will take a break. Connor Gallagher, the CEO of Tan Books and author of Parenting for Eternity, A Guide to Raising Children in Holy Mother Church, joining us. My name is Brooke Taylor, in for Timory. You're listening to Trending. We'll be right back on Relevant Radio.
Are you tired of educational options that are a one-size-fits-all? Our sponsor, Quilby Academy, offers the flexibility of both accredited, online, and traditional school-at-home options to fit the needs of your child. Visit relevantradio.com/Quilby.
So, what's trending?
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to Trending. My name is Brooke Taylor, filling in for Timory today and tomorrow, joined by Connor Gallagher, the CEO of Tan Books, husband, father of 15 beautiful children, and author of Parenting for Eternity, A Guide to Raising Children in Holy Mother Church, and covering everything from the posture of prayer, the importance of our own witness, and how difficult that is. And also, I want to touch on suffering. You talk a lot about penance and mortification, and this is a serious topic that I think is also beautiful, Connor, because you have ways from the earliest of ages that you can teach the children not to waste their suffering.
You know, we had a stomach bug, Brooke, take over our house recently, right? And you've had it where your whole family gets sick, you know, and I felt so sick for a day. I was telling my friends a demon possessed my stomach, you know? So it was one of those bad ones where you just, everybody's out. But here I am, you know, I kind of evangelize like I do now. And so I'm sitting here trying to put my preaching into practice. And I'm trying to remember, let's offer this suffering up for somebody, you know, let's do this. And then when I'm helping some little child, you know, puke in the toilet, you know, I'm sitting here just patting them on the back. I mean, you every parent's done it, right? I mean, it's gross, yep. But I mean, come on. If you've been a parent, you've done this. Yep. And you have to even gently and creatively and lovingly, you know, try to spur that child on in that horrible moment to say, think of something you can offer this up for. This suffering through the communion of saints can help someone else be relieved of suffering, or this grace that you can receive here can go to someone and help them get to heaven. So you don't want to pound this into the kids, you know, while they're suffering, but you can like slowly and creatively slip these messages into them, even in that moment. So it sounds weird, but those are actually not the worst times to do this, but the best times, if you can do it lovingly, gently, and creatively. You know, to be a parent, Brooke, you got to be creative in how you find ways to teach spiritual lessons, you know, whether they're fighting over a car seat, right? I mean, how many times have you had your kids get in this car and fight like crazy, you know, over a seat in the car? Well, it's like a daily occurrence in our, you know, 12 passenger van. And so, you know, are we able to show, you know, can I be a peacemaker like the Beatitudes call? Can you give this up, you know, for your sister? And they say, but it was really my turn. This is really my seat. Okay. Can you suffer that injustice? Can you do that? You know, or can you do your sibling's chores? Can you do the dishes tonight for your sibling, even though it's her night, without complaining and without keeping score and making them do it tomorrow night? You know, always turn the day-to-day stuff into a spiritual moral lesson. Why, Brooke? Because every second is a spiritual moral lesson. Every second of your child's life is an opportunity to improve their chances of getting to heaven. And we have to creatively see opportunities to do that.
This has been something as a child instilled in me and through the generational gift of my faith that I've tried to pass on to my children. And sometimes we go in spurts, and then other times we focus on other areas. And I had just read this chapter in your book, and it's funny because it was like I was seeing all of these opportunities, and it was actually quite beautiful. And there was, I think it was Friday, my son, who is a senior, he's 18, so he's been driving for a while now, and he doesn't like not having transportation because he's pretty independent and, you know, has been for a few years. And so he just started a new job, and we had multiple things going on, so he had to wait until I could pick him up. And it was raining, and they had closed the business that he worked at, and he was sitting outside, and it was raining. And he called, and he was so frustrated, and he said, "Where were you?" And I said, "Well, I had to wait for your brother to get out of the locker room." And he, in the frustration, I said, just stop and offer this up for the people of Ukraine who are right now making their way to the border. And you think about that, just a brief moment in the elements, sitting in the rain, and we're so angry that we have to endure, you know. And I'm not in any way trying to, you know, of course, I would probably react the same way that he would, but it helped me. And I felt it was a grace of the Holy Spirit to be reminded, how can we pray? We want to be able to pray and offer up our suffering and help. And this is, we Catholics believe and know the corporal aspect and the power of offering up our suffering. And I want to read just a clip that, or an excerpt that demonstrates this so powerfully. And I had, it almost took my breath away. I had to read it a few times because it was a little shocking, but it's so true. And I don't think a lot of people think about this. You write this: "Dear parent, understand that the modern American culture in which you have been raised is like warm water, and you are the frog. With every passing decade, the temperature has been turned up. Our nation, with many blessings indeed, was founded by men of the Enlightenment. They were largely anti-Catholic rationalists with smidgens of Christian faith remaining here and there. It was the author of our Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson, who committed the blasphemous, idolatrous, mortal crime of publishing the life and morals of Jesus of Nazareth, commonly known as the Jefferson Bible. This Enlightenment scoundrel, whom we scandalously christen as a founding father, removed all signs of the miraculous and supernatural in order to promote Jesus as simply a wise man, a man of whom the Enlightenment would be proud, rather than as a savior who died for him. And this is the America in which you live." And you go on to say that we Catholics glory in the flesh. We place bits of flesh and bone in golden reliquaries. We honor the places where saints reside. We process on our knees around Marian shrines. And we know that our Lord came in the flesh, God incarnate, the Word made flesh. And so therefore, this is the very body that we seek to tame. I thought it was a little provocative when you wrote that about Thomas Jefferson, but it's true. I don't know if a lot of people know that.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, because, you know, we're Americans. You know, we're raised to believe a certain thing, and obviously our founding fathers did a lot, and we've created an amazing society. But there is a very evil sense of the Enlightenment that has worked its way down to us, you know, 250, 300 years now. And, you know, we are a secular society at this point. This is a post-Christian society. So, you know, at the core of the Enlightenment and other secular modes of thinking, Brooke, is just pleasure versus pain. And, you know, how much, you know, pain can we avoid in this life? But that's the exact opposite of the Christian message. You cannot be Jesus's follower. And we have to tell our children this. You know, we cannot, you, little one, cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ unless you pick up your cross and carry it. So this is what I call the school of Jesus Christ crucified. This is the school of Calvary. And it's something that the founding fathers, their dainty, you know, French Enlightenment kind of way they lived, could never understand this. They were essentially deists. And they believe that God set the universe in motion, you know, 10 billion years ago, and it just runs. No, this is an incarnational religion. God became flesh, which is, by the way, that's why the devil hates the flesh. A lot of people think he loves the flesh, but he hates the flesh because of the incarnation, because God became man and he has to bow down and worship flesh. It was unbearable for him. So Lucifer has a really bad chip on his shoulder about the flesh, which is why he tempts us with the flesh to say, look how nasty the flesh is. He hates it. He doesn't love it. So the Lord God loves the flesh, and it will be glorified when we reach heaven. Our flesh, the very flesh that your child has right now, the little skin knees he gets on his bike, the little ear infections he gets, the little runny nose he gets, all of this is going to be glorified. That's how much God loves the flesh. But to get to that point, we must first mortify it, despite what the world tells us. We must die to self now so that we can be reborn as glorified bodies and enjoy that for all of eternity.
Well, and you talk about the flesh, and on the other side of that, the angelic hosts, I think it's an area often underappreciated or overlooked, and that's emphasizing the power of our guardian angel. And I loved that you wrote about that, and maybe you could share just some basic introductory notes about that excerpt.
Well, actually, you said it best, you know, Brooke, in your introductory comments about, you know, this is spring and watch everything that's God doing. And, you know, that's the thing about the angels. And I didn't really know this until I was researching for this book. St. Augustine and other church fathers actually said, and I quote it in this book, that all the natural elements, the seasons, the rain, the clouds, the sun, the grass growing out of the ground, the flowers blooming, the wind going across your face, all of this, Brooke, is governed by the angels. God put angels in charge of all the natural elements. And so, again, in a sense, like the ancient Greeks thought that Atlas was holding up the planet, you know, on his shoulders, in a way, there's a little truth in there, because there may be angelic powers governing our galaxy and holding the planets in place and governing the laws of gravity or whatever it may be. But the natural universe that God created, he placed in the care of angels. And that's why the demonic have so much of a presence in the natural realm as well. So when we look out and see the beautiful clouds, the beautiful sunset, everything happens, show your children that angels are helping make this happen right now. We forget that they're not just the guardian angel that prevents us from, you know, getting in a car wreck. They're making all of this beautiful stuff happen, or at least governing it according to the natural laws that God put into motion. It's a beautiful notion when we realize the angels are so prominent that they're making all this beautiful stuff happen. And therefore, when your son, your 18-year-old, gets rained on, okay, he can look up to God and say, thank you for loving me enough to put a bunch of rain on my head. You know, God loves him enough to do that. And the angels love him enough to control all these natural elements. So I just think that's a beautiful notion, that the angels are so prominent around us.
It is. And you also say, too, invoking, as we ask the saints to intercede, St. Anthony of Padua, the patron saint of lost articles, to also call on a specific kind of angel for a specific intention. And you talk about the nine choirs of angels, and each in the heavenly court with their hierarchy, the seraphim, the cherubim, the thrones, the dominions, the virtues, the powers, the archangels and the angels, and the principalities, of course. But also, they each carry such a unique role. And what a beautiful thing. I think even in many of our formation lives growing up, we didn't hear the specifics about that. And it is worth revisiting, because it's such a treasure we don't want to lose. And it's something we need to pass on and hold up.
No, absolutely. Isn't it amazing that our guardian angels are actually the lowest of angels? I mean, if your guardian angel, Brooke, appeared to you right now in your studio right now, you might confuse it with God, because it'd be so amazing you wouldn't even know how to process it. And it's actually the lowest. And Michael, Saint Michael, is the eighth ring. He's in the archangels, so he's kind of like down at the bottom. He's one of the small guys, and yet he, because of his humility, overthrew Lucifer, who was the number one angel within the seraphims, the first choir. So yet again, God here has all of this beautiful order and structure, seraphims, cherubims, thrones, all of these amazing, that all have different roles, very specific roles in the universe, whether it's watching over heads of state, or whether it's watching over business people or priests or bishops, whatever it may be. But check this out, Brooke, that Saint Michael was a lowly guy. He's a small guy. And God allowed him, because of his humility, to overthrow and cast out of hell Lucifer, the top guy. This is like the ultimate David and Goliath, like on a massive scale. And so even within this order, God always lifts up the lowly, as the Magnificat says, our Blessed Lady said. He always lifts up the lowly. So that's another thing we can teach our children, is this Saint Michael, he's actually a small guy who overthrew a big guy. It's a beautiful lesson in humility.
Yes, and it captivates, you know, our hearts and imaginations and just the truth, beauty, and goodness of that. I'm even thinking in the Byzantine liturgy, it's one of my favorite prayers. It says, six winged, many eyes, soaring aloft on their wings, and talking about the angels and just the power and the beauty of that, and how you also say to have that relationship. It's one of our earliest prayers, I think, to learn the angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here. And those are things that no matter where our children go, it will always be in their heart. I remember hearing that about the Latin language, that even when they're old and they forget so much, Latin somehow just is lodged in the mind and the memory. And I think it's because it's that bullseye of truth. We have to take a break, but when we come back, I want to end on a positive note, Jeremiah 29:11, and a future and a hope. Joined by Connor Gallagher, my name is Brooke Taylor. You're listening to Trending on Relevant Radio. We'll be right back.
This hour is sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare. Join thousands of members who choose life through ethical and affordable healthcare. Check now to see how much you can save. Go to CatholicHealthShare.com.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to Trending. My name is Brooke Taylor in for Timory today and tomorrow. Brother Richard Hendrick will be joining us from North Dublin in Ireland. They're about 4 hours ahead of us and we'll be taking us through Lent as we approach the midpoint and talking about penance and prayer and fasting and the beauty of the many graces awaiting. He is a writer. He is a contemplative monk, a Franciscan Capuchin. And so looking forward to connecting with Brother Richard. Tonight, we are exploring the greatest, most awe-inspiring role, the vocation of mother, father, parents in raising children, parenting for eternity. A trillion years from now, your child will either be in heaven or in hell, and this is only the beginning of eternity. That will make you stop in your tracks. I know it sure did for me. That's on the back of the book written by Connor Gallagher, a husband and father of 15 children, also the CEO of Tan Books. And I love, Connor, that you say we don't have two lives, one now and then one later in heaven. Everything is now, and what we do has eternal consequences.
We do. We tend to break everything between now and later. And I think when we get to heaven and look back, it's going to be a very silly, you know, we're going to laugh at ourselves a little bit the way we divide. You know, this we think that there's this huge Chinese wall between us and the spiritual, and it's actually a very thin veil. It's a very thin veil. And so, you know, that therefore we have to reach across that veil and reach out for the eternal and help our children see, Brooke, that every decision they make is an eternal consequence. And I mean everything. I mean, it's not like, well, there's your worldly concerns and then there's your heavenly concerns. No, it's everything they do, whether they play soccer, whether they are on a baseball team, whether they do their chores, whether they do their homework, what time they go to bed, everything, because they have one life. If everything, they would agree that everything they do affects their life. Well, then everything that affects their life, Brooke, affects their life for eternity. And they need to see that, not to scare them, but to motivate them to make those investments for all of eternity. And as parents, boy, it's not the kids that really have the problem understanding that. It's us. Like, we're the ones that get so worldly because we're trying to balance our checkbook and go to work and do all the million things we got to do. We're the ones that forget it. The kids accept this stuff easy. We're the problem. At least that's my experience.
I just saw a new report that depression among teens is becoming a major health problem. It's a new study that was out. One third of teenagers have had at some point experienced major depression. And we see this, and as parents of teens, you know that if your own child hasn't, they know someone who has experienced this, not to mention all of the gender confusion and the constant assault, social media, all of that. And one of the greatest things we can do is instill in our kids a sense of the eternal, the truth of Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for a future and a hope. And so in your experience, what is the best way to reach into those dark places when our kids are struggling to even believe Psalm 139, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made and that God does have plans for them and that what they're feeling right now is not going to last forever and there is a greater beauty that awaits, a glory that awaits?
Yeah, it's a great question. And you know, in my other book and called Still Amidst the Storm, I talk a lot about the current anxieties of the world, you know, and what's happened to our families and children. But the way, I think the best way for me to answer that is, you know, we live, first of all, see that we live in a society that is addicted to trying to tell kids how special they are and how gifted they are. Everybody's in some kind of gifted or elite class or elite team or, you know, whatever it is. And I understand that, Brooke, I do. But it's much more important that our kids understand that they are loved versus they are special. And special means I'm different from everybody else. You know, that's the idea we're trying to give. I'm different from everybody. When in fact, it's even more reassuring for people to say, I'm very much like everybody. I have great unity with all humans because we have the same Heavenly Father. We are so loved. So if you raise your child to, and I'm not saying this is a perfect antidote to depression, okay? I don't mean it at all. But if you raise your child, first of all, to know that you love them deeply and that whatever discipline, whatever disagreements you have, and I have that with my kids all the darn time, all the time. But I have to always couple it, begin it, you know, in the middle and at the end, emphasize, I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing this because I love you. You know, and there's nothing you can do that prevents that. But you couple that with your angel, the things we've talked about, your angel loves you. The Blessed Mother loves you. Your Heavenly Father loves you. The church loves you, waiting for you to go to confession. You know, whatever it is, love, it's all surrounded in love. And when you feel deeply loved by your family and your church and your God, your chances of being depressed have statistically dropped significantly. So I think we often try to solve this in the wrong way. It's not about being special. It's not about being different. It's not about being elite. It's about being a child of God and knowing the full eternal ramifications of that. And if we focus on that, the amount of spiritual, psychological healing that can occur in our child is remarkable.
Amen. Beautifully said, beautifully written, the entire book through and through. And we're just out of time, but really getting started. It's a brief book, but so much into it. Parenting for Eternity, A Guide to Raising Children in Holy Mother Church. It's on my nightstand when it's not in my backpack. So I hope that other people will pick it up as well. Tan Books, is that the best way to get a copy, Connor?
Tanbooks.com. Yes, thank you, Brooke. And it's been a pleasure being with you. You are a delight. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thanks be to God for you and your wife and your family and all you do at Tan Books. A big fan and very grateful. And thank you for providing so many life-changing titles. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
God bless you. It's Brooke Taylor, and we're just about to start the rosary for tonight. And with Father Rocky, I see the prayer intentions coming in. It is also World Down Syndrome Day, and this is such an opportunity to pray for the beautiful, unduplicated souls. So often we know that this is a beautiful life, but the Down syndrome statistics are so often that those children are aborted. When you look at the adoptions worldwide, there are so many that need homes. And just a few years ago, we had found out there was a surprise pregnancy, and then there was the screening of Down syndrome, and whether or not that our beautiful baby had Down syndrome, I don't know, because in the second trimester, we miscarried. Her name was Joy Hosanna, and it was a difficult thing, and I have such a great open heart for those who are scared with a diagnosis of special needs. Our daughter is severely autistic. You may know her story. She was adopted from Poland. And I thought, we already have a special needs child that needs complete care, and having another, Lord, I need your help. And it was such a devastating loss then when we did lose that baby. And I just pray every Monday in particular, those joyful mysteries, when we pray for the Annunciation and the visitation and the birth of Christ, the presentation, the finding of Jesus in the temple, I just think of particular all of the women who are considering, who may have a surprise, unexpected pregnancy, or are considering abortion, and just go before the throne of grace and advocate for those souls and good support system. So it's something that we continue to pray and entrust. We're so grateful for Relevant Radio. Again, tomorrow on the show, Brother Richard Hendrick will be joining me from Ireland. He's in North Dublin at a friary there, and he will be talking a little bit about prayer and fasting. What are you doing for Lent, and how is it going? We're just about to approach the halfway point, and this is such a tremendous week with the consecration of Russia in Ukraine by Pope Francis, and Pope Benedict XVI now joining in on that, as well as bishops around the world, and obviously the Feast of the Annunciation on Friday, and Laetare Sunday on Sunday, which means rejoice. So much to cover, many, many graces just awaiting, and we enfold our hearts into the rosary. God bless you, and I will catch you tomorrow on Trending. You're listening to Relevant Radio. My name's Brooke Taylor.
Trending with Timory.
What we really need to talk about is the pursuit of joy, which is a gift. Rooted in God, and we're able to have this eternal perspective.
This is a different world. We as parents have to educate ourselves. Get online and look this stuff up. Your child is dealing with it.
We are deserving of healthy relationships, and we should not compromise, even if it's easier.
Buckle up, join us if you have a question.
Trending with Timory, live Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com.